Wherever cancer is, Hancock Health will fight. In any part of you and in all corners of East Central Indiana. From Indianapolis to Greenfield to Knightstown to Rushville. From hospital rooms to family rooms, we fight. With technology and medicine, with care backed by the wisdom of Mayo Clinic. For you, for your family, and for your future in Rush County. We fight cancer here. HancockHealth.org/cancer.
So the jobs report comes out because it's the first Friday of the month, and that's when the jobs report comes out. And the jobs report says that we grew 175,000 jobs, but the expectation was 240,000. So we are below estimates. And now the unemployment rate goes up to 3.9% as opposed to staying at 3.8%, which is higher than it was the month before. Yet somehow the market responds by saying, and I quote, "Woohoo!" And you have the Dow futures were over 500. The market for a while was over 400. Lord only knows where it's going to land. What is everybody cheering? Unless, of course, less jobs means a slowdown of the economy, which means inflation can come down and rates can come down, which would make people happy. Is that what it means? Tony Katz today. What is going on, everybody? Dr. Matt Will joins me, economist at the University of Indianapolis. Dr. Matt Will, W-I-L-L, Dr. Matt Will on X. Let's take a look at this report. I don't think we've paid too much attention to unemployment rate as opposed to labor force participation going on, but 175,000 against 240,000, this is good news?
Tony, if you don't mind, I'm going to change direction on you and say, I'm going to go in a completely different direction. It's a bad report. The revision from 2 months was down 22,000. The expectation was higher than 175,000. Private markets were only 167,000. Wage increases were below expectations. Participation rate did not improve. The U6 unemployment rate went up. This is a bad report. Put that aside. Let's talk about why the market loves this bad report. That's the big headline here.
Okay. You're going to ask your own question and answer it. I love it. It means less work as a host. Why does the market love this report?
Because of three things that have happened. This is number three. It means a possible rate cut. There are three things that happened recently. The Fed signaled just a couple weeks ago that it may change its direction from tightening the balance sheet to quantitative easing. And then Wednesday, 2 days ago, the Federal Reserve changed direction on its open market operations. That means it's going to change direction and start monetizing the debt again. It's been dumping its balance sheet, which is what we need to control inflation. It's been dumping it to the tune of $95 billion. It's now going to reduce the amount of bonds that it dumps. And it indicated in this report it may consider increasing its balance sheet, which is the wrong thing to do. And this labor report gives it ammunition and reason to do it. Why? Can I ask my own question again?
Oh, if you should. I love this.
Because the Fed has two mandates, full unemployment and control inflation. And if unemployment looks bad, they can ignore inflation for a little bit and cut interest rates and increase their balance sheet. That's a bad thing. My previous prediction, I may change. We might see a rate cut this year.
And so what's interesting is that traders are supposedly now pricing in the possibility of two rate cuts by the end of 2024 based on one report. This seems to be reactionary, not rational.
Yes, you are 100% correct. It is completely irrational what they're doing. But this is the addict. The market is the druggie. And they're living on the street and they say, oh, a rate cut. I'm getting a rate cut soon. Can I have two? They haven't even got their first one yet, and they're already anticipating a second one because they saw the Fed indication. I am disappointed with Jerome Powell. He changed course this week. I'm very disappointed with Jerome Powell.
And changing course, it's that he started to signal a little bit of softness. Well, maybe the cut will come. Well, maybe the cut will happen. It was that kind of talk, right?
No, I'm going to spin it a little differently. What his indication was through the reports and the actions, plus his comments this week, is that inflation is not that important to us anymore. That's what he said. That scares me, because inflation is a thing that destroys your standard of living. It destroys the value of your income, and it allows government to spend and get away with it, which I wonder if there's a political angle behind what he's doing, which disappoints me if it is.
Talking to Dr. Matt Will, economist at the University of Indianapolis, and of course he's discussing how do I make life easier for my boss, Joe Biden, to have a better economic reality to help him win re-election. I think there are some economists who want to look at this, though, and say, look, you got unemployment, it's still under 4%, and you know, you got year over year, things are going well. You know, there's a lot out there that would tell you that everything that you're looking at right now from this report, oh sure, the jobs are down, but that everything's a spin to, hey, here's why it's good. It's the very Jared Bernstein of the White House Economic Council, White House administration, or Biden administration, White House kind of putting the happy spin on it. You don't even understand how good this is for you. But do they have an argument that maybe this is better than people want to say? I mean, look how the market's responding.
I can just tell you what I know to be a fact, and the fact is that this is a bad unemployment report. I mean, okay, the revisions for the last 2 months are down 22,000. Okay, I got a question for you, Tony. Is losing 22,000 jobs good or bad?
I have to assume bad.
Okay, wage increases are below expectations.
Were they government jobs? Because if they were government jobs, then maybe I could say good.
Unfortunately, they weren't, because the private jobs of this 175,000, only 167,000 were government or were private jobs. So wages were down below expectations. Participation rate did not improve. And the U6 number, which is some people think is a better indication of unemployment, went up. Now, again, if you're a Keynesian economist, you like these kind of reports. They're bad for the average person, for private companies. They're good for government. They're good for big government spending. They're good for cutting the rate so that the government can monetize its debt. So it's good for those things, but it all depends. What's your definition of good or bad? My definition of good is smaller government, lower inflation, higher standard of living, more people employed. That's my definition.
One of the interesting things that took place as this happened, this report came out, is that the 10-year Treasury fell off a cliff. Now, it slowly worked its way back a little bit. The 10-year Treasury had been at a level of 4.6 or higher, and it was sending the 30-year fixed mortgage into the 7.5 and higher territory. And then it dropped the minute this report came out to 4.4. And now, I mean, it's gone back up to 4.5. So these are little changes that can mean a lot. Why would the 10-year Treasury note, and the 30-year fixed mortgage is based on the 10-year Treasury, why would the 10-year Treasury come down because of this report?
It's a short-term drop. It's strictly a short-term drop. That's all it is. You can't read too much into this, because the value of the market went up for two reasons. The top line in the present value calculations meant more cash flow. The bottom line went less, lower numbers, because the 10 years just reacting to the Fed. So if I were to give you a brief answer, the indication is that the Fed's going to cut rates, means that the base rate will fall, which means the 10-year, which is base rate plus, the base is going to drop.
So now you have this fight, and we've talked about it before. There's the economists like yourself, and then there is the Wall Street druggie. And who wins this battle? Because we can see consumer price index, producer price index, all show us that the inflation is going nowhere. All this leading to going back to Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, and you're discussing your disappointment in him and this idea that maybe inflation doesn't matter as much as it did. What specifically was Jerome Powell doing this week that has people like yourself saying, hey, he's playing political, he isn't focused on the actual economic reality, shame on him?
Well, first of all, I want to say one thing that's important. I'm a financial economist, not an economist, because the people on Wall Street love this because they're addicts. The traditional theoretical ivory tower economists, they like this too, because they believe in bigger government and bigger Keynesian models. The financial economists, those of us that live in the financial world, which is often Wall Street, but from an objective viewpoint, we don't like bigger government. We don't like the fact that Jerome Powell has been subjugated by the ivory tower economics professors in his think tank who've said bigger government, more lower interest rates, monetize the debt, expand employment, who cares about inflation? So he's been co-opted by the people that I think have the wrong opinion about a free market.
Let's talk about some of the other things that we have been seeing. There was a report on Bloomberg talking to Dr. Matt Will, economist at the University of Indianapolis, about rents. And the reporting on rents was that we are seeing a three-year high, not since the middle of COVID, in small businesses being late, if not defaulting, on retail space rents. This coincides with reports that about in 2027, a lot of these big projects, multi-million dollar mortgages that would normally get refinanced are going to start coming due, if you will. And there's a question of what's going to happen on a large scale of real estate, specifically in office space, which is having its own issues because people aren't going back to the office. Let's start with this on small business rents, these small businesses at levels of default not seen in 3 years. This doesn't get the market concerned?
It should. It should definitely get the market concerned because you are correct in your analysis. But add to that, these are long-term leases. So they have been immune from the crisis that we experienced with the pandemic. They're now coming due. They're now going to have to be repaid. I'm sorry, re-upped. So at least is re-upped. Or if it's a long-term, let's say a mortgage, they usually, and this is a little nerdy, I apologize, they're usually like a five-year mortgage amortized over 30 years. That means it's like a 30-year loan, but they have to repay it every 5 years. That's the cliff that's coming. That's the crisis that's coming, that these people who can't afford a 30-year mortgage have to refinance it 5 years from now, which is now.
Which is right now, when that starts coming due, right? You're certainly going to see some fire sales in terms of office space and downtown space. But does it have a ripple effect on the smaller spaces, on the smaller sized landlords?
Well, of course it does, but sometimes in a good way. Because I know, have firsthand knowledge of people that are in a Class A space in downtown Indianapolis who have moved into lower quality space because they can't afford the nicer space. And so there will be a benefit from the low-end stuff, just like the used car market and the repair market saw an uptick during the pandemic because people couldn't afford or buy new cars. So don't be surprised if there's a little bit of benefit there. But if the tide is falling, it's eventually going to catch everybody.
Dr. Matt Will, economist at the University of Indianapolis, I appreciate you taking the time to be with us. A lot more to get to. I'm Tony Katz.